A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We have the privilege of starting a new Masechta this morning. Chagiga Daf Beis, Chagiga 2A, pagination, if you will, is page 3. And the Mishnah tells us, Hakol Chayovim B'Re'iyo. Everybody is obligated in Re'iyo to be seen with a karban in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Tif, referring to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And we will see, as the Mishnah develops, that even though the statements seem to be very, very sweeping, Hakol, everybody is obligated in this mitzvah to be seen in the Beis HaMikdash with a korban on Yom Tif, but the Mishnah is going to continue with the word chutz, except for, and whittle away against that sweeping statement and tell us all the people that are absolved of this mitzvah. Let's keep it simple though right now. What is indeed the mitzvah of Yom Tif as far as karbanos go? So the mitzvah is that every adult male has an obligation, number one, of an olas re'iyah, a karban ola, simply because he's been seen. He's supposed to present himself in the Beis HaMikdash with a karban. Shouldn't come empty-handed. And that karban is an ola. Olos are brought entirely on the Mizbeach. There are no meat portions allocated to the owner. There's also a shalmei chagiga, a karban shlamim. And that's based on the pasuk Shalosh Regalim Tachog Li Bashana. You should have festivity. And that is going to produce some meat that is eaten by the man and his family. And in addition to that, there are general shlamim, shalmei simcha, as they're called, which are brought to supplement the need for additional meat, additional food to make things festive. So the karbanos fall into three categories again. Olas re'iyah, the karban ola, which is presented totally burnt on the mizbeach. Shalmei chagiga, also an obligation, but this one produces meat for the owner. And then to supplement, there's something called shalmei simcha. So Hakol Chayovim B'Re'iyah, all people are obligated in this Karban Re'iyah to be seen with a Karban in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tif, Chutz, except for Cheresh Shota V'Katon, people who do not have the status of being an adult in the Jewish people. Cheresh is a deaf mute, wasn't able to communicate in their time, and was therefore classified in the same classification as a shota, a fool, a person with very limited mental capacity, as well as a katan, a minor. Now, the katan, the underage, under bar mitzvah, is a sophisticated category, because if he's very young, so then he's totally absolved, because he doesn't have the mental capacity, is not of age. However, in the case of a katan, we expect him to outgrow his limitation. And therefore, there's a concept of chinuch, of education, once he has reached an age in which he could fulfill the basic principle of the mitzvah, then he's obligated to do the mitzvah as chinuch, as education. So that, for example, to be really broad about this, when does a child have an obligation to shake, for example, the arba minim, the four species on Sukkos? When he's able to, kidei lenaneya, when he's able to start shaking, when he understands the level of shaking something in a methodical way, because shaking the lulav and esrog is an integral part of that mitzvah. Holding it will fulfill your obligation in a minimal way, but the essence of the mitzvah is to do the shaking. And therefore, he's obligated once he can do the essence of the mitzvah. Here also, once the child is able to do the essence of the mitzvah, which is to walk or to be conduited into the Beis HaMikdash, according to Beis Shammai, as we see later in the Mishnah. But once he can go ahead based on feet, then he would be obligated in education. Hopefully we'll see that in a moment. Tumtum va'androgynous, people who have the abnormality that their gender is unclear, so they're going to be potter from Aliyah L'Regel, from this mitzvah of Re'iyah, because it says in the Pasuk called Zechurcha, a definitive male. And then we get to a very normative case. Noshim, women. Regular, normal, healthy woman above bas mitzvah. She's going to be potter from this mitzvah because the Pasuk says, Kol zechurcha, all of your men. She's going to be potter from Re'iyah, from this special Pasuk of presenting oneself in the Beis HaMikdash, but she is still going to be included in the Shalmei Simcha, in the joyous karbanos which are brought in order to enhance the Yomtif, because she has an obligation of V'samachta B'chagecha, just like anybody else, to rejoice in the holiday. Now I'd like to mention as an aside that this mitzvah focused on the men to go up to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, coupled with the pasuk telling us, "V'lo yachmod ish es artzecha ba'aloscha," and no one will covet your land when you go up, is one of the ideas that is presented regarding our awareness that Torah is min hashamayim, that Torah comes from heaven, that it was not man-made. Because if we were to think that the Torah was man-made, Moshe or a committee presented Torah because that was their best intellectual pursuit, and it was not divine-directed, then we know from reading the Torah that it's certainly from intelligent people, or beings, to be more accurate. It's from an intelligent being. No intelligent being would put into the laws that all the menfolk should go 3 times a year to the Beis HaMikdash and vacate their land from able-bodied men who can defend it, unless either you were looking to commit national suicide because the invading armies would simply take over the city because there are no defenders and it's at known times during the year, or the only other choice is that Hashem himself was giving this mitzvah and therefore they had nothing to fear. But again, the very fact that the mitzvah is on the books from intelligent being indicates that it's the all-powerful creator who directed that mitzvah. The Mishnah continues and tells us a number of people that are not able to walk. They can't do aliyah l'regel. They can't walk, and therefore they're absolved from this mitzvah. And then we continue with the case of katan, a child. Ezehu katan. What's the case of a child? Kol she'eno yachol lirkov al k'sevav shel ovev v'lalus mirushalayim l'harabayis divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, any child that can't ride piggyback on his father's shoulders, that's the limitation, that there's not even a level of chinuch, education on such a child. Beis Hillel says the child has to be a little bit older than that. He has to be able to walk the last length of the journey holding his father's hand. so that he can have support. He can holding his father's hands. He's pretty young, but simply the fact that he can ride his father's shoulders is not enough. He has to be able to walk on his own two feet. The final part of the Mishnah emphasizes what we introduced, that there are different karbanos. Primarily, we're discussing the Ola Suriya, the obligatory Ola, and the Shalmei Chagiga, the obligatory Shalamim. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, what is the minimum value that the sages placed that it should be considered a respectable karban? And we're referring to this in terms of a ma'a, a silver coin that was known in their time. Beis Shammai omer ma'ri'iya shtei kesef ha'chagiga ma'a kesef. Beis Shammai say the olas ri'iya that's totally consumed on the mizbeach had to be two such coins, and the shlamim chagiga was one such coin. Uveis Hillel omer, and Beis Hillel said it's the reverse. Ha'ri'iya ma'a kesef, the ola going on the mizbeach was one coin minimum value, v'chagiga shtei kesef, and the chagiga would be two coins. What's important for us is not so much the memorizing of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, but to be aware that indeed there are these two obligatory karbanos, Olas Re'iya, Shalmei Chagiga. The Ola does not generate food for the owner, the Shlamim does. And an interesting thing that we want to explore is once you've reached your minimum value, are you allowed to use Maaser Sheni money to increase, buy a more expensive such karban? Maaser Sheni money is money designated from the tithe of produce, and it had to be used for purchases in Yerushalayim, but only for things that you are not obligated to do. And hence, our question, which is explored in a later Mishnah, are you allowed to use Maaser Sheni money to purchase an animal above these minimal requirements that are outlined by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.